Now, as we continue with our studies in the Gospel according to John, we want to look today at chapter 11, the Gospel according to John, chapter 11, which deals with the raising of Lazarus. And now, before we read the scriptures, let us bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we draw near into thy holy presence and bow our hearts before thee. We need thee at all times, and we do ask that by thy Holy Spirit thou shalt speak to all our hearts even now, and grant that what each one stands in need of shall be supplied bountifully from thy gracious hand. Remember every listener and every home that's represented by those who listen. May thy blessing be their portion. We ask it in the Saviour's precious name. Amen. And now I want to read quite a lengthy portion from this chapter, commencing to read at verse 1. John chapter 11, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment, and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he said unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may wake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. Now I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Now we'll pause there in our reading and seek to find a lesson from these verses. Now I again remind you that in this particular chapter it's dealing with the raising of Lazarus, and it's the seventh sign. Isn't it wonderful how each of these has increased in intensity? He started off by turning water into wine. And then he raised the nobleman's son. And then he raised a man who had been lying at the pool for 38 years. Then he was able to provide the food to feed the multitude. He was able to walk on the water. He was able to give sight to the blind. But now here in this chapter, he is going to raise the dead. But in viewing this great subject of Christ the resurrection, I have just read to you today up to the end of verse 27. The first thing we want to take note of is the crisis in the Bethany home. Now, I suppose of all the homes throughout that part of the world, none were more precious to the Lord Jesus than the home at Bethany, just lying about 2 miles outside the city of Jerusalem. I suppose on many occasions he visited that home. He was a well-known guest in the Bethany home. But when you think of that home, there was a brother there by the name of Lazarus. He had 2 sisters, one called Martha and the other called Mary. Now, when you think of a home with a brother and 2 sisters, it seems evident that these 3 have come through what you might call hard times. For it's obvious that where there was the family, there must have been the mother, and there must have been the father. But there's nothing said in the Word of God about their father or their mother. It seems that Lazarus had the responsibility of maintaining the home, and then it seems that the sisters were responsible for looking after the things of the home. So therefore you have a family here, but there's no father and no mother. Now, it does not require any stretch of the imagination to know then what these 3 had come through sometime in the past. The cruel monster, death, must have come into that home and taken their parents. So they knew something about trouble. They hadn't had it easy. Either they were just people like ourselves and they had to face up to these problems in life. But now something else had happened here. There was sickness again had struck right here at the Bethany home. It was a time of crisis. 2 ladies in the home had passed through those times of suffering in the past, and now their brother, the breadwinner, the one on whom they depended, here was the one who was sick and dying, a troubled home. Now, I like to think this, that in the midst of their trouble, they began to think of the Savior. After all, they were quite conversant with what had happened. They would know that the Lord Jesus had been in Jerusalem and that they were plotting there for his death. And yet, they would love to have seen the Savior. Therefore, his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Those of you who follow through our broadcast will remember that at the end of chapter 10 we pointed out this, that he went away again beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. Now here were his friends who were living down in Bethany, just about 2 miles outside of Jerusalem, but he was away down on the banks of the river Jordan. So somehow or another, they had to get someone to convey the message. His sisters sent unto him. Isn't it a good thing that when we're in trouble, and when things are not going the way we would like them to go, and when the home is upset, it's a good thing when we can think of the Lord. In time of crisis, we can turn to him. Perfectly true, he said, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's willing, my friend, to listen to the cry of those in distress. How often did the psalmist say this? Poor man cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all his troubles. Well, here's a home where there was trouble. Lazarus, their only brother, was sick and dying. But they immediately thought of this, if only the Lord was here. Get somebody to run and tell him. Tell him and say this, and here is the tender message they sent. When you get to him, tell him, he whom thou lovest is sick. Oh, what a tender message to come from a troubled home. That's all you need to tell the Lord. Just you tell him that he whom thou lovest is sick. It's possible that they thought that the moment the Lord got the message, that he would set off and as quickly as possible would come to their aid. Ah, but there's a truth here, dear listening friend, that you've got to learn. It's the truth of the tarrying master. He continued where he was for 2 days. He didn't just pack up and run. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now remember, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. He loved them all. But when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Now, suppose you sent for a doctor as they used to do in the old days. Nowadays you've got to go to the doctor. But suppose a message was sent to the doctor to come, that someone was critically ill, someone was sick. You'd expect that doctor to come as fast as he could, to come and administer some treatment to the sick person. But now surely Martha and Mary expected the master to come as quick as possible. There was something they hadn't learned yet, that if the Lord wanted to heal the brother, he could heal him without coming. We learned that in one of the past miracles, didn't we? But now they expect him to come. You see, sometimes we've got a wrong ideas of things. We want to tell the Lord how he should do it and when he should do it. Oh, here is the crisis again of the tarrying master. You see, the Lord Jesus is not moved with emotion. You and I are. We get emotional when we're in a crisis. The Lord Jesus is not moved with emotion. He is moved with devotion to the will of God. And when he is devoted to the will of God, he will be obedient to the will of his Father. And you and I shall learn that same lesson, not to be rushed about with emotion, not to be moved with emotion like this and get all confused, but we should be moved by devotion to the will of God. We should be able to say the same words as the Lord said when in the garden, the night he was to be betrayed. Nevertheless, he said, not my will, but thine be done. But I like to think what it says in verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. We learn the great truth in chapter 3 from that famous verse, verse 16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But then here is something else. This is not a text that tells us that God loved the world. This narrows it down to the individual. It doesn't even say, now God loved all those that were in the home at Bethany. It says, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Here is that personal love for each of them. Still he abode 2 days. And then there is the movement. And he begins to move towards the Bethany home. Now, when you come to verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Here we have the claim of the Lord Jesus. I am the resurrection and the life. Another one of the I ams of John's Gospel. Here we've already seen how he said, I am the light of the world. We've also seen how he said, I am the door. By me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Here he's saying, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, when you think of the resurrection and the life, you've got to think of death. For if there was no death, there'd be no need for resurrection. See, Lazarus was sick, nigh unto death. And then by the time the Lord got there, Lazarus was dead. You've learned that from verse 14. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. He knew that before he arrived there. Now when he got there, there was a lot of people gathered around in that home, trying to comfort the mourning sisters. But these were professionals. They weren't touching the hearts at all. They were just what you call professional mourners. Now professional mourners cannot bring comfort to those who are bereaved. But let us think for a moment now of the cause of death. The cause of death is sin. See, lust, when it is conceived, bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth death. So that the real cause of death now is sin. We learn that also from the Epistle to the Romans, chapter 5, verse 12 says, Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Then again, in that same chapter, verse 19, we read this, For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. We learn then that the cause of death is sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ was quite competent to deal with the cause of death. Did we not learn that lesson in John chapter 1? For Christ Jesus is the Lamb. And John the Baptist says, Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So Christ Jesus as the Lamb has dealt effectively with the cause of sin. It was sin that nailed him to the cross. But nevertheless, in nailing him to the cross, it lost its sting. So there's no sting in death now for the believer in Christ Jesus. But not only must we face the cause of death, we must look at the cruelty of death. Remember, the Bible speaks of death as being an enemy. It is not a friend. Oh, when we think of the cruelty of death, this great enemy, the last enemy. Have you ever noticed the cruelty of this great enemy? It separates friends, the best of friends, people who have been partners for life. It divides them. It comes at any time of the day or night. It's no respecter of time, and it's no respecter of places. Death can enter the palace and take the one who wore the crown. Death can enter the little cabin and take the poorest person in the realm. Oh, my friend, oh, the cruelty of death. It separates friends. But more than that, it brings sorrow. And to go a little further, it causes suffering. Death is not a friend. Death is an enemy. We think then of the cause of death, it's sin. We think of the cruelty of death. But then think for a moment of the conqueror of death. The Lord says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Here is the conqueror of death. Christ is the resurrection. And being the resurrection, he brings reunion where friends have been separated. He reunites them in resurrection. You know, when the great resurrection morning comes, when the Lord comes with the triumphant shout, and when the trumpet rings out, the dead in Christ are raised first, there will be a great reunion. Not only will there be a reunion There will be rejoicing in place of sorrow. So, my friend, listen, while death comes along and separates us, there's going to be a great reunion when Christ the conqueror of death comes. Then there will be rejoicing in place of sorrow. Not only will we be with one another, we'll be with Him. And there will be no more suffering after the resurrection. But the Lord says, I am the resurrection and the life. He is the conqueror of death. You know, when the Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary, He went right into the very jaws of death. When He came down to Bethany to visit this home, I want you to look at it like this. He had been at Jerusalem, and they had conspired together how they were going to put Him to death. They decided that if He remained there, they would get some cause against Him, and get this cause against Him, then they were ready to put Him to death. At that time He had withdrawn from them. First of all, He went up to Galilee, walked no more in Jewry. And then later on, when He went down to the feast, they were trying again to trap Him in His sayings. And He left Jerusalem and went away back over to Jordan, where He had begun His ministry. Now He has come right back up again at the request of His friends. They sent word to Him, He whom Thou lovest is sick. So He goes back up to within striking distance of the great city of Jerusalem. He goes to this little town of Bethany, just a little less than 2 miles from the city walls. He walks right, as it were, into the very face of death. He goes in to face His enemies again, those who were plotting His death. Then He goes right into the very home where death had come and taken away the breadwinner. Later on we'll see how He goes into the very face of death at the tomb. But my friend, all this teaches me this, that the Lord Jesus Christ left the glories of heaven where there was no death, only life and happiness up there. But He came down to this scene and was born at Bethlehem. And the moment He was born, as it were, they were planning His death. They tried to kill Him when He was a child. Later on, they tried to kill Him in His own town of Nazareth up in Galilee. They wanted to push Him over the brow of the hill. But His hour had not yet come, so He left them there. And again He said, Mine hour is not yet come. Now here He is, He comes again into the very face of death. The Lord Jesus Christ never turned His back on the will of His Father. And when the time is drawing near for Him to go to Calvary, He sets His face steadfastly towards Jerusalem, knowing everything that would be accomplished there. And so we find Him now, coming up again to the very place where they plotted His death. For remember, Christ is the resurrection. He brings reunion, He brings rejoicing. He is the conqueror of death. And afterwards, when we see that they placed Him on a cross, and from the cross they put His body in a tomb, but death could not hold Him. Jesus, my Savior, He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord, up from the grave He arose with a mighty triumph o'er His foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and He lives forever with His saints to reign. Hallelujah. Christ arose.